Bismillah, alhamdulillah, welcome to Way of the Muslim, Defining the Muslim Character. I'm your host, Yusuf Estes, and for the next few minutes we're going to be talking more about the subject of the personality and character of the Muslim, based on the teachings or hadith of Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. I'd like to begin this episode by mentioning a hadith where the Prophet, peace be upon him, talked about the angel Gabriel, called Jibril in the Arabic language. He says, Gabriel, came to me and he said, O Muhammad, live as though you will certainly die, and love whom you will, since you most certainly will leave him, and act as you will, since you will certainly be given reward for it, and know that the believer's eminence is his standing in prayer during the night, and his honor is having sufficiency without dependency upon the people. To elaborate on this a bit and see how it will benefit our development of character, I'd like to mention something to you. This Gabriel, the angel here, in fact is the same Gabriel that you know from the previous revelations. And he's the one sent by Allah. And he has a title, by the way, called the Ruh Qudus, which means the Holy or the Sacred Spirit. And when the Sacred Spirit, Ruh Qudus, Jibril, is coming to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is a form of revelation. And he's saying something to Muhammad, peace be upon him, that he wants, of course, him to narrate onto us so we can learn how to develop our character. And that's exactly what this program is designed to do. We hope that it will work for me and for all of us. And it says that when he comes to the Prophet Muhammad, he says, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad, live as you will. Live any way you want to, because you will certainly die. Love anybody you want to, and know that certainly, eventually, you're going to leave that person, or that person's going to leave you. Meaning what? Even if you're married to somebody, eventually one of the two of you is going to die. The same holds true for your parents and everybody in your life. Eventually, they're going to leave you. And then he continues. Act as you will, meaning do what you want to do, because you're going to be given reward for it. Now, the way this is translated, you might think reward is something good. But the way it's understood from the Arabic is, you're going to be compensated either way. If you do good, yes, you'll be rewarded. But if it's something bad, then obviously it means that you're going to be punished. So, do what you will do, and realize that you're going to be paid according to that. Good for good, bad for bad. And on the day of judgment, a person's going to see their bad, even if it's an atom's weight. And they're going to see their good, even if it's an atom's weight. And this is something to keep in mind. And it says, know that the believer's eminence, eminence is meaning high status, is his standing in prayer during the night. You know, we had a segment where we talked about this before, but I want to repeat that again. You know, it's essential for the Muslim to pray five times a day. You can't leave that and still consider yourself to be a Muslim in good standing. But once you have that in place, the regular salat five times a day, this is something beautiful. It's not just something to do in worship. It's something to do to grow inside and to take a benefit in this life and the next life. It's called Qiyam al-Layl, to get up in the night. And how sweet it is, because you're getting up in the night. You're going in and washing up to get ready to pray. Put on something nice, as though you're going to meet somebody very important. And then you stand there all alone, silently, nobody knows, and you're worshiping your Lord. You're doing what He wants you to do. It is so amazing. And you start slow, as we mentioned before, and build it up. You'd pray two, and then one all by itself, and ask Allah. And when you raise your hands in the night like that, and you ask Allah, do you know, as it was mentioned in one of the other hadiths that we talked about, that Allah is going to answer these prayers, this dua. So that's an important part of this hadith as well, talking about standing in the night. And this is an eminence. This is, you want to be raised up high in dignity and eminence like a king. Well, this is how you can do it with Allah. Get up and pray. That's the best standing you can do. And the honor for the believer is to have sufficiency without dependency on other people. What does that mean? What you have, make it be enough so that you don't have to go out and beg from others or borrow from others or impugn others to help you with your difficulties. If you said, well, I need a bigger TV set, or I need to have a fancier car, I need to have a new washing machine, I can't get by with the old one, blah, blah, blah. All of this is doing what? It's showing that you're having a dependency and you have a need. Now you say, well, I don't have enough money. Let me see if I can borrow it over here from my father, from my mother, from my cousin, from my neighbor, and I need to borrow. And I need to get something over here. I'll pay you back, guys. But you see, you're coming to people and depending. And really, when you have self-sufficiency, it gives you a peace of mind. And it also helps you in this clear thinking of what a real Muslim is supposed to be thinking about. And that's not being dependent on others, but rather that you're going to be dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the one that we all depend on. So, and I think that helps us to get a better understanding of that particular hadith. I want to move now to another one, and this one is dealing on the subject of charity. Sadaqah. In Arabic, it talks about charity or sadaqah. The Prophet, peace be upon him, is saying, and this is on the authority of Abu Huraira, he says that the Prophet said, charity is due on every joint of a person on every day that the sun rises. Administering justice between two people is an act of charity. And to help a man concerning his riding animal by helping him on or off or lifting his luggage onto it is an act of charity. A good word is an act of charity. And every step you take to go for your salah or your prayer is charity. And removing that which is harmful from the road is also charity. These are all acts of sadaqah. Because the Prophet ﷺ is telling us that every joint in your body is due an act of charity. And this is on a daily basis. Every day that the sun rises, you've got to come up with some acts of charity. But there are many acts of charity that you can perform. And this is giving you some idea about what that is. First, and it mentions here, that administering justice between two people is an act of charity. And helping a man on or off of his horse, his animal, is an act of charity. Helping him get his luggage up. Well, I know people don't ride horses that much anymore, so you can help somebody in and out of the car. You can open the door for somebody the next time you go to the supermarket. You can make things easy for people. Removing obstructions or objects out of people's way. You know, when you're in the grocery store, you move a basket over so somebody can pass by. It's just the kindness that you're doing here that's being granted as an act of charity for you. How about this one? Did you know the Prophet ﷺ told us that a smile in the face of your brother is an act of charity? Now that's an amazing statement. Think about that. When was the last time you just went around smiling all the time? Of course, I've visited some countries like Egypt, for instance, when I found everybody over there smiles all the time. I think they should call that the country of smiling people. And I guess that's true because they have a lot of reward of charity there. I wanted to elaborate on something else about charity. There is the zakat in Islam, which is the type of charity that's due as an obligation that must be paid. You shouldn't confuse this with the zakat with the sadaqah. Don't confuse that which is an obligation on you to pay every year with this type of charity, because this is on a daily basis. It comes up every day, and you want to do your best to be able to suffice this charity that's due. And the best way, as we said, is to follow what the Prophet ﷺ is teaching us here. This develops character, by the way. In the case where you have wealth and you'd like to donate and give things, that's certainly an act of charity. In the case where that you would like to perhaps offer meat to some poor people, have an animal slaughtered and give it out, that's an act of charity. But these are acts of charity here that can be done by the poorest man on earth. Even if he doesn't have money at all, he can still help other people in their daily lives and make their lives easy for them. And all of that's going to be counted as what? An act of charity. So may Allah give us the strength, courage, understanding, and wisdom to do that on a daily basis. Here's another one that I found very interesting. And the Prophet ﷺ said this. He said that richness is not having a lot of belongings, but richness is the richness of the soul, the richness of the nafs in Arabic. And I want you to think about something that impressed me years and years ago when I got into Islam. I was always before that a businessman. I love business and I love to deal in that. But one of the things that I learned after I got into Islam is the true meaning behind a statement that says, success is getting what you want, but happiness, contentment, is wanting what you get. And think about that. You could want and you get it, but it doesn't satisfy you. So you feel like, you know what? I want more. So you go out and you try to get more and you get it. I wanted this, now I got it. Am I happy? Am I content? Because there's a big difference between these two. A lot of people are in emotional turmoil. They have to go to the doctor for medicine, for pills, for treatment for their psyche, because they don't know how to deal with the difference of these two things. The richness is not in the bounties that you have in your house, the big house, or the fancy car. No, the richness is going to come when the heart is content. And the heart's not going to be content until what? Until we begin to realize what Allah gave us is all that we needed. And this is another good form of character development for the Muslim. We're going to be back and talk about this more, inshallah, in just a few minutes. Stay tuned. Alhamdulillah, we're back. You're watching Way of the Muslim, defining the Muslim character. We've been talking about charity, and now I'd like to pick up where we left off and move into the subject of the condition of the believers and the disbelievers with regard to the statement of the Prophet, peace be upon him, when he said, two hungry wolves let loose amongst a herd of sheep could not cause more damage than a person's craving after wealth and the status in this life and the damage that that will do to the religion. One of the signs of a believer is his being having this ability to give up the things of this world for the things of the next world. And a sign of a disbeliever is that he wants the things of this world in place of the next world. There's a beautiful hadith of the Prophet, peace be upon him, that says, "Adunya sijnu mu'min wa jannatu kafir." And in this one, he's saying that the material world around us is in fact a prison to a true believer. But it is the only paradise for a disbeliever. And that's exactly how some people go through this life. They go through trying to make their paradise here. They want the big house here. They want the fancy clothes here. They want the best food here. But when they're doing that, what are they saying? Because it's the believer who's willing to give up those things as though he lived in a prison. He's giving up these rights to have all the things here because he wants the things in the next life. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that you would have to take, I have a nice car, I have to go throw it away. It doesn't mean I have a nice job, I have to go out here and quit and become a garbage man. No, but what it's talking about is that what are you chasing after? What are you desiring, just like those wolves who are out here chasing the sheep? So what are you chasing after? Certainly, if things come your way from Allah, you should be very grateful and happy and thank Allah. But at the same time, you don't want to become somebody who's just out here seeking those things, chasing after that, because this is also the wrong way. There's another hadith of the Prophet, peace be upon him. He starts it out with, I love this word in Arabic, ajib. He says, amazing, ajib, is the condition of a true believer, because only good happens to him. When anything in the material world he's talking about comes his way, he's happy, he's pleased with it, and he thanks Allah. But any difficulty or fitna comes his way, then he's patient, and he makes patience in this, and it's good for him, but it's only in the case of who? The believer. So I think maybe we better understand this from the standpoint that it's what you're chasing after, like those wolves, and what will happen if somebody is just chasing after that, they're going to tear up their religion worse than those wolves. You're going to tear up the sheep. Allah knows best, but that's the impression that we get from this, you know. Here's another one about visiting somebody for the sake of Allah. Have you heard the expression, Hibuk Fallah, I love you for Allah? Well, when you love somebody for Allah, listen to what happens. And this is a hadith, a teaching from Muhammad. He said a man went out to visit his brother, meaning in faith, his Muslim brother, in another village. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sent an angel to wait for the guy on the road. And when the angel came to this man, he said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to go visit a brother of mine in the village. He said, is it because you did something for him and you want to get paid for it? He said, no, it's just that I love him for the sake of Allah. I love my brother in faith for the sake of Almighty God. And then look what the angel said to him. He said, then I'm the one who's been sent by Allah to you to inform you that Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mighty and the majestic, loves you just as you have loved for his sake. What a great statement here, to think that Allah loves me just because I love somebody. Another hadith of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, teaching is that there is a special place on the Day of Judgment in the shade. And the only shade that's going to be is by Allah's permission. But there's going to be shade for certain people on a very hot day, on that Day of Judgment, and it's reserved for certain people. And some of those people are those who just loved each other in this life for the sake of Allah. And I hope that we'll all be in that. I hope that you will love for the sake of Allah and that I will love for the sake of Allah and we can all be in that dhil, in that shade. Ameen. Now, I wanted to come to another one here that says that the Prophet ﷺ said there will come from the people, and he's talking about years to come. There's going to, something's going to happen. He's giving a prediction here. That there will be come upon the people years of deceit in which a liar is going to be believed as though he's telling the truth, but the truthful people are going to be disbelieved in. The treacherous will be trusted, but the trustworthy will be held out as treacherous. The despicable will be speaking out. And so they said, but who are the despicable ones? What are you talking about? Because they didn't understand the particular word used in the Arabic language here. So then the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said to them, it's the lowly, low man who is speaking out about public affairs. This hadith, this teaching is something really big for us today. Because we find everywhere that the ones speaking the truth about Islam, for instance, are being held out to be liars, and then the liars are being held out to be truthful people, and they're telling things that are not true. They're saying things that are not real. But this is a prediction that that would happen, and it sure has. And treacherous people are being believed as being honest and having integrity. But those who have the integrity, the honest people, are being held out to be treacherous. And again, we see that today. And the best example is to look at us as Muslims. When people are saying, oh, Muslims are bad, so and so. But don't despair about this. You know why? The Prophet ﷺ told us this was going to happen. So this is another prediction. And you can see that this is a chance for us to do what? Develop our character to the very best. Because when the people see, eventually, this truth will come through. And they'll realize that those other guys are lying. This is not something from Islam. This is not the way of a Muslim. I know a real Muslim. This I'm talking about as though they were meeting us, you know. They say, I know a real Muslim, and they're not that way. So this is a good chance for us to take advantage of this prediction of the Prophet ﷺ and then live up to it by having better character. So that people will realize that what we're saying and what we're doing is the truth. And then finally this remark when he said about the low, low person speaking out about public affairs. This doesn't mean a person who is poor, that's the miskin. No, it's talking about the person who is of low character, who's speaking out about public affairs and having a voice and an opinion in things when really, in fact, he should do better, perhaps, to take care of his own business instead of about worrying about what the king said or what the president said and acting like a big shot. And I think this may better explain who that low character was he was talking about. And then finally, I want to come to this one. This is having such an impact that I couldn't resist to elaborate on. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, there is nothing which is heavier on the balance than good character. And haven't we been talking about that? The balance in Arabic, al-mizan. And we've been talking about this subject of character building from the very beginning of these episodes. The way of the Muslim is to develop this character, the character of the best Muslim. And who is the best Muslim? Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. And certainly he left a legacy for us. And that's what we call hadith. It's so important for us to know the value of these hadith and to know which of them are the most accurate and those that we trust and use in our life every day. These hadith have been preserved and protected and authenticated by the top scholars since day one. And this is something for us to carry on as traditions, just as we're doing in these programs, so that we'll know what the real character of a Muslim is supposed to be. So that we can follow the way of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and take advantage of this legacy and then begin to develop in ourselves and in our children, in our community and other people around us, develop this way of a Muslim. I hope, inshallah, God willing, that all of us are going to take these teachings and put them to work. Listen again to what the Prophet ﷺ said. There's nothing heavier on the balance than good character. Nothing heavier on the balance than the good character, meaning the character of the Muslim. Review in your mind and think about some of the things that we've talked about in these episodes and see how you could put that to work in your life. I know many times when I give lectures and go out and speak to people that I see people really show an interest. They look like they want to change. And I encourage them, you know what? Why don't you do this? When you go out the door, tell yourself, you know what? I'm not the same person that came in that door. I'm different. I'm different now. Something in my life has changed. I've seen something today, heard something today that's changing me. And I'm going to work on this character of me to develop some of those things that I've learned from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And all of this is in an effort to do what? To get the scale heavy on the day of judgment. I need that balance, that scale, to be really, really heavy so that it will outweigh some of these bad deeds. I want to share with you another hadith that relates to this. The Prophet ﷺ asked his companions, who are the poor? And they said, the poor, the miskeen, you know, the poverty people. He said, no, the real poor ones are the ones that have like a mountain of good deeds on the day of judgment. But then the people come to take their rights from them. And one by one, they start taking away these good deeds for the evil that this person has done against them. And they get their rights back. This is called Yawm al-Hisab, settling of accounts, the day of reckoning, payback. And here it comes, you know, one by one, until he has no good deeds left. And then what happens? They begin to put their sayyat, their sins, over onto this man because he doesn't have any good deeds left, until as a result of this, he winds up going to hell. And certainly these are the most poor. So let us take some lessons from what we've heard here so we won't be in that condition on the day of judgment. Let us think about what it is to be the best character and the best way of a Muslim. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.